something that maybe perhaps you've been believing God for, trusting God for, and I'm going to read a scripture and then we're going to go right into the Word. I'm in such great expectation of God and what He is doing, and even the hunger that He's put in us for more of Him. Are you with me today? And it's important for us to never lack that hunger, because they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So it's always important to say, God, I believe you, I trust you, and Holy Spirit, you do the work on the inside of me, so you're welcome here to do what you want to do in me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to get right into the Word, but man, He is doing something on the inside of us, no doubt about it. And it's just, it's two scriptures, and they'll probably have them on the screen. I'll start with, thank you, God. Wow. Chili gonna make me give you a mic, right? Yeah. Chili wants to sing it one time, y'all. Give me a mic. Give me a mic. I got this. Come on, bring it. You want to sing it too? You ready, Chili? Just. You gonna go? All right.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and set the atmosphere. Your Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Presence, Lord. Yeah. You gonna lead us, man? You gonna lead us? What? One day, you all don't know that Sean can sing. I mean, I hear them sometimes, like we have rehearsal or whatever. I mean, they be bringing it, and Holy Spirit be working through them. So I thank God. These quick scriptures, and we're gonna get in the Word, and we're gonna hear testimony during the message. So this passage says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children." The Holy Spirit's gonna work with us. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind and new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, and focus here, 15th verse, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His church, head of the body, the church. I like this. And I'm just going to take for a subject, as we're talking about purpose, and I wanted to make sure I got a real loving heart when I share this message, because the title, why y'all stopping? The subject is growing up. Will you say it with me? Growing up. Yeah. So y'all know I need prayer, right? So Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your church that's growing. Ah. Thank you that you challenge us and build us and strengthen us. And We just say yes to your will, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Come on, give him a real good praise. He is God. Thank you, babe. He is a good God. He is a good God. Wow, when I think of this passage and I think about how it relates to purpose, you know, God's purpose for us is actually to be more and more like Christ. God's purpose for us, no doubt, is to grow up, no doubt about it. In fact, when we read the scripture, it comes from Paul's teaching the church of Ephesus, and last week we talked about the church of Corinth, and similar message, because he says that there's so many different parts, and you all are so many talents, you have so many talents or giftings, because the scripture there in Corinthians talked about the nine gifts that he gave to the body of Christ, and now he's talking about four or five gifts, five if you talk about the fivefold ministry. And it's amazing, he says that I'm giving you pastors and teachers, and I'm giving you apostles and prophets and evangelists, and for the work of the kingdom, that you might teach the church to grow up. And then he comes to this place, you know, last week we also had some props, because he personified, meaning Paul personified the foot, and he says, is the foot going to say to the hand, you know, that I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, and so the hand say, it was amazing. And so if you didn't get the message, you know, you need to go on and check that one out, because it helped lead us to this one. So now he's having another conversation and writing, and he's from prison when he's writing this letter. He's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus from prison. He says, I'm in prison, y'all, but I'm not in here because I've done something wrong, but I'm in here because of the word of God. And he says that I'm here, but my heart and my thoughts are with you, because you all are cutting up. I'm paraphrasing. Paraphrasing. He says, I've heard some of the things that you all have going on, and there are some challenges there. And he says, I want you to know that, man, you're part of the same body of Christ. And why are you doing the things that you are doing? And then in the passage, he says that you, literally says this in the King James Version, you need to grow up and become like Christ. And now, I'm not sure if you recognize it, but the writer here must have understood how children act. And he likened the immature Christians to immature children. Mm-hmm. So much gifting and so much potential, but you need to grow up. Y'all still love me, right? Yeah, you need to grow up. So when I think about that, you know, we've been pregnant now about three times, and you know, each time it was a blessing, and it wasn't easy going through 9 months. You know, I had all kind of feelings and emotions and cravings, all that stuff, I'm telling you. And when I went into the delivery room, it was really something. And I did go, I'm just letting you know. I always tell people, if you're there for the order, you need to be there for the delivery. That's just my thought about it. But after the baby was born, you know, you have to deal with like baby bottles and pacifiers and baby wipes and diapers and strollers and car seats. Y'all see, I told you I've been through this. Hollering and crying and screaming and tantrums and pouting, and some of the statements are mine, and man, that they learn that fast, don't they? Mine. A father's work is never done. This is to be expected, though, because they are babes, they're infants, they're young, but at some point it's time to help me out. At some point it's time to grow up. And if I could share this with you, Paul was challenging the first century church. He says, you know, y'all got so many gifts, so many talents, and we're working together, and we get so much done together. He says, but at some point, you all need to grow up. And that's one reason that I fast, because it keeps my flesh under subjection. It keeps me focused on the things of God. My spirit can come more alive. I become more attuned to his voice and more keen and acute to his voice and what he is saying, as opposed to operating in my own strength and what, because Wayne's flesh can, Jerry Wayne's flesh can, it can go places I don't want it to go. Can I get a witness? And I know, man, the flesh, somebody put it like this, the flesh can be a mess. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in the real section? So let me share this first point, simply this. God wants us to grow up and become more and more like Christ. Do me a favor. You don't have to touch him. They don't want you to touch him right now, but look at your neighbor and just tell him, hey, God wants us to grow up and become more like him. Yeah, and to be truthful, folks, let me also share with you that growing up takes time and process. Can I get a good amen in the house? You know, when we brought those little ones home, they didn't just automatically, you know, grow up overnight. You know, and to be truthful with kids, with children, there are no shortcuts. You can't just all of a sudden say, bloop. No, it takes time. It takes effort. All the moms and dads in the house say amen. Because y'all still working with them. Amen. My mom's still working with me. Amen. So growing up takes time, and it's a process. There are no shortcuts. I don't know if you're taking notes, but that'll be a good place to take notes, because, you know, the scripture says, and I love this passage, where he talks in the book of Matthew's. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. From the church standpoint, when people get saved, they don't come already got it together. No, it takes time for them to develop and for them to grow up. It's a process. And all of the mature ones in the house, it's your job to mature and to grow and to disciple the rest of us. Boy, it got quiet in that place. Especially today's time, because we are in this place where we say, I don't want nobody around me. I don't want them touching me. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them in my car. I don't know what they got. Come on, y'all. Do you think that the devil is not using everything he can to keep us separate? How can we allow those young ones to grow if you don't bring them close? I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. That's okay. Discipleship is making disciples or followers of Christ, that we could be more like Christ. Now, here's one thing I want to make sure you understand, is that Paul, when he was in jail, he did not say that you weren't Christians. He did not say you were not followers. He said that you need to mature. There's a big difference. He didn't say you're after the devil. He just said, no, you need to mature. That means that, and just to let you know, folks, that I too, you know, coming up, man, I wasn't always where I am now. I remember when I was in school, I was just had a hunger for the things of God, like some of you all do now. Some of the young people that just come into church, old ones just coming into church, say, I've got a hunger for the things of God. I want to learn. But, you know, I don't know how to do this thing. And God loves us at every step of our walk. You could be farther walk. You're just beginning today, but you've gone. If you just started today, you've gone too far to turn around. Are you with me today? Yes. You've gone too far to turn around. But I remember when I was about 18 years old, and I was away in school, and I was going through some challenges. And I remember coming to this lady. She's a lady in the church. And you ever had one of them looks on your face where you wanted people to see you as disgusted, busted, and never to be trusted? And she looked at me, she says, son, what's wrong with you? What's going on? I moaned and groaned for a while and complained and told her what was happening. And I never forget her comments or her response was, she looked at me and she says, son, well, are you fasting? I said, fasting? No. Fast as I can go to the refrigerator. She says, are you praying regularly? I said, no, got too many problems to pray. That's what I'm thinking in my head. But I told her no. She says, are you reading God's word? I said, no, too busy for that. I'm 18, what? Too busy. And I remember her response. She just looked at me and kind of smiled and gave me a big hug and says, well, baby, no wonder all this stuff is happening to you. You letting the devil get in. And she said, let me just pray with you and pray for you, but you need to start fasting and praying and getting your word. It's amazing what happens when we begin to turn our attention toward God and away from the things of the world. So can I let you know, some of y'all that's got your lips poked out and want people to know that you busted, disgusted, and... baby, are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you seeking God? Can I let you know that even the troubles and trials, I want to share this, is that God has a purpose behind every problem that will help you grow. And they'll probably put that on the screen, but God has a purpose behind every problem. Do you believe that? That will help you grow. God will take that issue or situation and cause you to grow behind it. He didn't establish it, but he'll help you to grow behind it. Man, I feel a praise coming on. Y'all just help me praise him right for a minute if you can relate to that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love this passage in the book of James, the first chapter. It says this, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. In other words, all the King James Version people say, you know, it says, count it all joy. And some say, I don't feel like counting the joy when I'm going through trials and tribulations. But can I let you know, behind every problem, there's purpose. God has purpose behind everyone. If I hadn't have gone through some of the things that I've went through, I wouldn't be able to share with you some of the testimonies of how God has brought me out, how he brought me over some things and through some things and gave me the victory and gave me a testimony in spite of. Are you with me today? Now, God didn't put heart disease on my body. He absolutely does not do that. But he will use the testimony of how he healed me and brought me out with an amazing health testimony. Are you with me today? Somebody bless him in this house. He is God. God sent me to share with some of you all today that I don't care what situation you're in the midst of, what problem that you're dealing with, God's going to use it to somehow grow you, to cause you to grow up in the very things of God. You may be going through something in your marriage. You may be going through something in your physical body. You may be going through something spiritually, but don't you give up, don't stop, because God is going to use it for your benefit, for his purpose, that he would get the glory out of the very thing that you're going through. If you believe it, give him praise right now. I mean, give him real good praise. Listen what this passage says. He says, and this is James, the first chapter. It's another favorite of mine. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it's not even about you being tested, but your faith is being tested. What faith? The faith that you have in God, that you tell everybody, yeah, I believe in God. Well, now it's being tested. It's less about you and more about your faith being tested. Glory to the name of Jesus. He says, your endurance has a chance to do what? Grow. Here's that word again. Fourth verse says, so let it grow. What? My endurance grow, for when your endurance is fully developed. Can I let you know God is developing you? Yes. He says, then you will be perfect. That doesn't mean without fault, but it talks about mature and complete, needing nothing. Are you with me today? Man, when God gets done with you, you're going to be something else. Somebody give him praise in this house. Woo! So let me share with you some times that we can use for growth, or God uses for growth. In times of trouble, grow We can grow when we trust God. You know, we absolutely can. In times of trouble, God wants us to grow in trusting him. And in our faith for him, he wants us to grow in those times. How many of you all, don't have to raise your hand real loud, but how many of you all have been in times of trouble? Oh, yeah. Yeah, been in times of trouble. And right there, do you know God wants to use that time of trouble for a place for you to grow? Yeah. It's a time of growing. See, you and I wrote this down. Every test in our life makes us either bitter or better. Every problem comes to make us or either break us. The choice is ours to walk as a victim or walk as victors. And too many times it's too easy to walk as the victim. Poor me. And I've been through it. That's why I try to get you all out of it as quickly as you can. Because do you know any victims that they walk around victim mentality? Poor me, can't get a job. Poor me, they pick it on me. Poor me, the devil won't leave me alone. Poor me, my health. But can I let you know that you can choose to let it make you bitter? And I've met people that they were so bitter because of the situations that they have gone through, and instead of them looking to God, they begin to get mad at everybody else. Brothers, and I might get in trouble, but brothers, have you ever met some bitter sisters? Sisters! Are y'all with me? Jesus, stop looking like that at me. I'm going the other way too. Sisters, have you ever met any bitter brothers? Just bitter, mad at all the women because one woman messed over. Man, the thing about it is that trials can make you bitter or it can make you better. What did you learn in the situation? What will you never repeat again? Because God showed you how to walk in victory, not depending upon people to fulfill you, but he is your fulfillment. Are you with me today? I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Every test in our life makes us bitter or better. Every problem comes to make us or break us. The choice is ours. Will we walk as victims or victorious? How are you going to walk? We're going to walk as victorious. Somebody give him a victorious praise right now. Thank you, God. All around this place, this building, both downstairs and the balcony, you have gone through things that you've come out of, that the enemy tried to break you, but it didn't work. Tried to make you bitter, but you're still here giving God praise. Tried to stop you, but you refused to stop. Why? Because you know your God. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And let's give him a shout in the house right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So troubles will come, and we grow in trusting God, no doubt about it. But also, in times of temptation is another time that we can grow in obeying God's word. We absolutely can, you know, and it's important that we do. So when temptations come, don't lie. In the real section, you know you get tempted. Y'all get tempted weekly. Some of y'all daily. Somebody said hourly. Man, temptations come. But allow temptation to grow you in obeying God's word. This could be a whole message. The Bible, I'm going to do King James and I'm going to do NLT because I like them both, and I know some people are traditional, so we'll quote King James. King James says, flee fornication. Didn't say stand there and try to figure it out. Well, does God want me to be here? Yeah, you know, you argue with fornication. So, well, I'm not sure if this is God or not. Come on, y'all, quit playing. The Bible says, flee, run from it. Look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, run from sexual sin. Is that what it says? No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. Sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So when this temptation comes, and a lot of it comes because we look at stuff that's going to get us going. You can't hardly turn on, am I being okay? Y'all still like me, right? All right, I'm just saying. We're talking about growing up. You can't grow up unless you have adult conversations. And if this is too hard, we got children's church for you. Children's church is open. It is right now. It absolutely is. I'm just saying. So it says, run from sexual sin. And it says sin. So that is even for some of y'all watching certain things. Some of y'all need to run from pornography because you know it gets you going. And once you get to going, you know, it's hard to get you stopped. All right, this is not in my notes, but. And sometimes brothers, they be trying to play the game after they get through hugging and kissing and all the other stuff, and they say, "Oh, you got me too far. I can't stop now." You can stop. You shouldn't have got me to, no, you can stop. Let the pastor walk out and look at y'all in the car. You stop right away. Don't let him play you. Here's what God's word says, and I love this about God. He says, and this is, I love this passage because it, again, is one of my favorite scriptures, and it says, for we don't have a high priest that cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but he's been tempted in every area, just like we were, yet without sin. So it means that he was tempted. He understands how you feel. He understands that because he was tempted as well. That's what the scripture says. That's our high priest. But he did it without sin. He says, therefore, let us run boldly to the throne of grace. Because he knows how to give us grace in a time of need. That means that he knows what you're going through. He knows the fight that you're having. He knows the emotions and the feelings that you want to release. He says no, but he didn't yield to it because it's not going to be good, because feelings go up and down on a regular basis. And you can't always yield to your feelings. Are you with me today? Somebody give him real good praise. Thank you, God. I love this passage also. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, the temptations in your life are no different than what others have experienced. So you're not the first one that's experiencing this. And God is faithful. He is faithful. He's going to be there with you. You just have to have a want to. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you the way out that you might do what? Endure, King James Version says, that you might bear it. And so I'm just letting you know that he'll be there with you. And I'm going to move quickly off of that. That's going to be another topic. And that's almost a whole message. Praise the name of Jesus. The next one is this. You know, time for growing is that in times of trespasses, we can grow in forgiving people. And I put people in there specifically because that's one area that can hold us back if we don't forgive people. So some of us in here now, we need to grow in forgiving people. Can I get a witness in the house? I need to grow in forgiving people because people do stuff weakly. So glad we got those that's helping me preach today. Hallelujah. They know, though. They ain't lying. Yeah, so here's what the scripture, and I really want you to grasp this because there's several passages in scripture when people were wronged and they were sinned against, and they allowed it to get in their hearts. And even today, woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I want to even watch how I say this. Even when it comes to certain things, and I was talking to I see her right in the back. about some of the forgiveness that some of the brothers that used to do, especially when it comes to racial things and what happened in slavery and some of those things. If you go back and look at that stuff, it'll stir up some anger that you really don't want stirred up. And it'll rekindle some fires that you don't want. You don't want those things going on. But you need to release so you can move forward. You can't hold anything over anybody. And plus, those folks are dead anyway. Isn't it something like the enemy that would use a dead person to hold you in anger and in unforgiveness? I'm mad. He gone. I'm mad at him. I'm letting you know that you got to let some things go. Got to let some things go. Bad relationships. I know he didn't do you right. I know he left you high. I know he took your money. Or she took your money. One. Money gone, bottom line. And you know things happen, but you cannot allow that to hold you down. You cannot allow that to hold you in captivity. You can't do it. Here's what Jesus says as he teaches. He says, forgive us our debts. This is how you should pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I also like how it says it in the NLT. It says, forgive those that sin. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How many somebody has sinned against you? And you need to let it go. You got to let it go. Because if you don't, you won't be all that God has for you. It'll slow you down, hold you down, hold you back. But I want you to know that in times when people wrong you, they trespass against you, God wants you to grow in forgiving. And this is so different when it comes to our children. Man, you know, they, in certain things, now God tells us to be childlike, not childish. There is a difference. Childish, mine, me, I. Childish. You know, yeah, you wronged me, but I'm going to forgive you. You know, in the next few minutes, we're going to be playing again. Are you with me today? So God wants us to grow in forgiving people. If there's one thing that I want this church to be big on, is forgiving and releasing people. I don't care what they said, how they talked about you, how they lied on you, how they didn't do you right, how they took your money. How many of you know that God knows how to turn stuff around? He can turn it around. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. Woo! Hallelujah. I want someone to bring Mother up at this time. Mother Dixon, she's going to share. Her son's going to bring her up. I'm telling him right there. He's going to do it right now. And as he is bringing her up, and someone else has a mic for her, she didn't have to step up the steps. But I want to bring this last point home. It's this. When there was a passage, there was actually a message and a testimony that someone that was in charge, that God had opened doors for them, that they gave this powerful testimony because they had been through the ringer. They had been through God giving them a dream, God showing them a vision, showing him how they would be lifted up and how other people would be coming to them for their help. And others fought absolutely against it, said that will not happen, got angry, sold them into slavery, and even put them in a pit. But God knows how to bring us up out of our situation. And here's the part I like about it. After Joseph forgave them, he looked at them in Genesis 50 and 20 and says, as for you, talking to them, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for my good. How many of you all have ever been in a situation where folks try to set you up to fail and they thought you were going to be down for the count, and then all of a sudden God just showed himself strong and picked you up out of your pit, placed you in a place that you know nobody could do it but God, and then you looked at it, yeah, you tried to kill me, but I didn't die, I'm still here. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So I know you tried, but God, I give you praise. I give you glory. Why don't you just bless him right now because he's God?